When we look back at the history of Britain in the first 400 years of our era, we are compelled to look towards Rome. The Roman conquest of Britain has left a legible record, the deeply buried material and detritus of a civilization lasting through to our present day. Occasionally, we are given rare facility to literally dig down into history to study the ever-changing life of London. Such was the case with unearthing the Temple of Mithras. Much has been written on Mithraism or Mithraism, and I cannot hope to do full justice to this important and significant religious cult in the limited time available today. Mithraism has its ancient pagan beginnings in India as a god of light, placing his blessings on contractual agreements and ensuring that both parties may stay good to their word. Carried by traders and migrants, we find later its migration into Persia. Mithras was given human form, both possessing and displaying emotions, and was quickly absorbed into Persian mythology as a god in a position of power, representing righteousness, truth, and integrity, stretching out his hands over the faithful in Persia. Mithras became the path to redemption for those faithful to him and what he represented. The majority of early Persian Mithraeans therefore seem to have been soldiers, often of high rank. Through worship of Mithras and through proper education in his various mysteries, a warrior could thus be redeemed. For men accustomed to a short and brutal life, redemption through Mithras, the god of the faithful soldier, offered protection and thereby growth in the Mithraic tradition. The rituals of worship were increasingly codified and structured. The few carved images which remain of Mithras show him sacrificing a bull, an act he was said to have committed early in life when ordered by the god of the sun to sacrifice the bull god Soma. During this act, he is shown turning away his head as if he did not wish to kill Soma. This was a key part of Mithraic tradition, as it displays Mithras faithfully following orders of a paternal figure, an act of devotion, although it greatly pained him. Mithraism survived in Persia as a cult, despite the rapid growth of Zoroastrianism in the local culture. Indeed, to some extent, Mithraism became integrated with Zoroastrianism, Mithras being regarded as the right hand of Ahura, the Zoroastrian god of heaven. With the passage of time, and as gods were increasingly assigned to celestial bodies, Mithras became represented by nothing less than the sun itself, Sol Invictus, not only as the god of justice, but the divine protector of kings, to whom victory would be safely delivered to the arms of the righteous and the just. Alexander the Great conquered the Persian Empire in 323 before the Common Era, and desired to arrange marriages between his high-ranking officers and the daughters of key political and public Persian officials. This clever familial policy of integration, later emulated by other colonists, seems to have introduced his Roman and Greek officers to Mithras and the god's mysteries, and indeed, for soldiers of any army, Mithras was in fact probably the best of gods to be introduced to. In a polytheistic time, Mithras could be readily accepted, since the beliefs he represented were truths the Greeks and Romans also held. The worship of Mithras took more definitive form. The dogmas, rituals, catechisms, set practices, and various ceremonies, they became established with the Romans, adding their own influences upon the cult and the mysteries it held. It should be of no surprise that Romans should be open to the idea of Mithras. Both Roman culture and society revolved around a central paternal figure, and the patriarchal system also carried over into Roman public life, as well as the Roman military. The strict, just, and warlike nature of Mithras was a natural fit. According to the mysteries and mythos, Mithras watched over all of his faithful, bringing his legions to victory. We should note that ancient Rome was perfectly comfortable in embracing the ideas, inventions, and practices of others. Openly embracing innovations and ideas, they were the undeniable masters in the art of incorporating foreign customs and technology. Most responsible for the widespread propagation of the cult of Mithras were the centurions. These battle-hardened veterans might well have attributed a portion of their success as a warrior and survivor to the intercession of a godly benefactor such as Mithras. By the 3rd century in the Common Era, the cult had spread right across the Roman Empire, with worshippers and temples found in every major city and town. For its adherents, it was a secretive organization, and little is known today about the precise rituals involved. Based on such a confusion of various gods and cults, its appeal lay in practices possessing deep roots in folk memory. We know it to be a brotherhood, a strictly male cult, a military religion with initiates enduring a series of tests or ordeals to progress through 7 grades or ranks. The ranks were called Raven, Bridegroom, Soldier, Lion, Persian, Sunrunner, and Father. The 7 grades were in turn connected to the planets, often depicted Mercury, Venus, Mars, Jupiter, Moon, Sun, and Saturn, reflecting its roots in the more ancient worship of planetary gods, but still widespread at the time. In respect of its appeal, with progression in grades of membership with associated rituals and tests, some have likened its attraction to modern Freemasonry. The followers of Mithras were expected to be brave, fearless, upright, scrupulously honest, and truthful. They were allowed to marry only once. Mithras posed no threat at all to the traditions and civilization of Rome. Mithraic temples have been found at the furthest frontiers of the Roman Empire, often situated at a low level and forming a dark, cavernous, and intimate space, including screen and altar. They normally appear in small size, and worship included dining together, reclining on long benches, possibly sharing the blood of a bull as a common cup, although it is likely that some variation in custom occurred from place to place, depending on the appointed pater. Father. One can suppose that these were largely fairly convivial fraternal gatherings wrapped up in religious trappings. The finding of a Mithraeum in London in such a central position certainly caused a sensation in 1954, awakening an interest in Mithraism. The arrangements made by Bloomberg to preserve the site, reinstating what remains of the building and opening to public view, all as part of the latest development of this important site, indicates today's significantly changed approach to findings of antiquity. And the legacy for us is the eventual establishment of a Christian church, the first church of St. Stephen established in Walbrook, possibly built over the site of the Mithras Temple, following the pattern established in many other places of covering pagan places of worship.